The views and opinions expressed in the following paid program do not necessarily represent those of staff, management, or advertisers with WBIG Radio.
Your radio dial is locked. On the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show. Go from loafing around in the garden to being a master of your yard splendor.
I love the golfer.
In the next half hour, you'll get the confidence you need to tackle those weekend projects with ease. You'll get information about proper methodology and the best materials available at a price you can afford. The Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show is brought to you in part by 844-DIRT. 844-DIRT, improved earth products. And now it's time for another show straight from the Gopher's Den.
Welcome to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show, the show that gives you what it takes to tackle your lawn projects with ease. You're listening to Zach and Mike, and today we want to answer the question that many great philosophers have pondered throughout the ages.
Philosophers pondered through the ages? What question is that, Zach?
Mike, I ask you, to seed or not to seed?
To seed or not to seed? Well, Zach, that is the question.
You know, that is the question, and sometimes people get caught up in that question. Should I seed or should I sod? When they should really be focusing on how to properly prepare their soil for optimal growth. Soil is the foundation that your lawn is built on, and proper preparation of that foundation will allow either seed or sod to flourish.
You know, Zach, that's some really good advice. I really like the word that you used was foundation. You're right. Your foundation is really critical in this matter, and that's why incorporating the right material now is very important. And when I say the right material, I mean, you know, for starting out in an area that we're going to, you know, eventually grow turf grass on it, you know, we want to make sure that we start out with a good organic soil, such as our super soil. And we're talking about an area that could be top dressing or overseeding or filling in an area of existing turf or, you know, a total area
total
renovation.
Blank slate, yeah.
Right, a total blank slate. And the first thing you need to do with that is make sure you got a good organic base, which is, you know, probably a good super soil. Another thing, too, is when we're trying to build this foundation is also possibly if our levels are good, we can actually till in good top dressing of mushroom compost or something just to build in a good organic matter.
Yeah, to incorporate the organic medium into the soil.
Absolutely. And then, you know, from that point, I mean, we could add super soil, super soil or mushroom compost or even Soil Pro, you know, to retain the water.
And help prevent compaction, definitely.
Absolutely. But this is really the critical point when to do this. Most people, do all the labor and then fail to do this. And that's usually why they either ended up in a problem in the first place or they don't want to be there. You know, you don't want to have a non-productive area.
Exactly. And for all these soil amendments, check us out on 844dirt.com. You can get high-resolution photos of all these things and actually get a detailed description on what their benefits are and where to incorporate them into your lawn.
Yeah, absolutely, Zach. And offsetting the cost of, you know, sod, which is really expensive, with a high-quality seed and soil amendments, you know, we'll just definitely give you that professional-grade quality turf.
Exactly. I mean, I hear that a lot. I see these people get the bill for sod, and all of a sudden they get this the sticker shock of seeing the bill. You know, it's expensive.
It is, Zach. It is very expensive. I mean, you've got to pay someone to, you know, to grow this, you know, to roll it and deliver it to your house. I mean, it's an expensive process. That's, that's why it costs so much. And, you know, what happens is when they get that sticker shock, people begin to minimize the importance of a good soil foundation, and that's really where the problem comes in, is they begin to minimize that. And, it, you know, that's where the problem.
You're right, Mike. Proper soil preparation of your soil is probably the most important part of any new growth. And if you guys have questions about what to add to your yard, give us a call at 844-DIRT, and we can point you in the right direction to help establish that perfect lawn turf.
Absolutely, Zach. And now that we have the proper growing media, or foundation as we called it, you know, how do we choose between seed and sod?
Well, both seed and sod have some advantages and disadvantages. Let's start with some of the advantages that seed has. The first advantage is obviously the cost. Seed costs a lot less than it does to sod.
Absolutely. High-quality seed blend is definitely a lot cheaper than even a few rolls of sod in most cases.
Definitely. And with this extra money, you can invest it into soil amendments that you can incorporate into your soil to even get better results.
You're absolutely right, Zach. And, you know, from just my personal experience, I always definitely would rather have seed than sod. I just always get a better result from seed.
Exactly, because when you seed, you develop a strong, deep root system into the ground, and that helps you establish a more resilient turf, and actually, in the long run, you get a better yard faster than you would with sod.
Absolutely. And when we use seed, we definitely use less water resources. Water resources are better spent because we get a better penetration of water into the soil. You know, 5 to 6 inches into the soil, that water penetrates when you use seed. And the key to that is the root system always follows the water, which just goes straight down, and we get that good, strong root system.
Exactly. There are some precautions to take when you do seed, though. When the seedlings are first sprouting, you need something to cover them up to protect them from the extreme temperatures of heat and sun. Things that can do this are straw or mushroom compost to cover that entire area.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. And also, one of the other precautions is, you know, erosion that could happen. So in some of those areas where they're sloped or where, you know, the downspouts come out, you can use a erosion blanket
exactly.
to prevent erosion.
And for erosion blanket and high-quality seed mixes, check out 844dirt.com and look to our resource partners who can provide you with a high-quality seed mix and erosion blanket as well as the tools that you may need to get the job done. Now, seed is great not only because of its cost, but because seeded lawns look better in the long run and they last and come to grow sooner.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you don't have time to sit back and watch the grass grow and you need an instant green, then sod is really the way to go.
Without a doubt, if you need or want instant green, then sod is the picture. You know, I mean, you definitely want to go with sod. If you,
mm-hmm.
But that's one of the main advantages of sod is it's instantly green.
It's also great for sloped areas where you might get a little erosion. And, you know, when you lay down sod, it's fairly weed-free right from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's not to say sod's without disadvantages. The main disadvantage of sod is the high cost.
It is very high. We talked about that before. You got to pay someone to grow it, to roll it, and deliver it.
Mm-hmm. That and sod uses a lot of water. You have to keep this stuff soaking wet for at least 2 to 3 months. And that means that it's not immediately accessible by you.
Exactly. People think they have this green lawn, and you know what? It doesn't quite work out that way because you have to keep it so saturated, you don't have any access to that turf.
Exactly. That, and you're going to get a shallow root system from this sod, not the deep penetrating roots that you want. But both seed and sod have distinct advantages, although most say that if you can wait, you should seed your lawn for the best results. But regardless of what you choose, the best way to ensure survival is to properly prepare your area. We got to take a break right now, but stay tuned for more of the Gopher's Den.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, the helpful place.
Visit DG Ace Hardware, the helpful place in St. Charles on Main Street and in Aurora on New York Street.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844 Dirt. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself.
844 Dirt is one of the largest residential mulch suppliers in the Fox Valley area. Housing everything from Northwoods Mulch of Wisconsin to Alabama Bark Mulch from the Smoky Mountain region, 844 Dirt is the exclusive provider of the finest mulches found throughout the United States. 844 Dirt also carries the finest organic weed-free screened mushroom compost available. Our courteous, uniformed drivers deliver all these products right to your home. To see a full selection of the products we carry and to utilize our handy materials calculator, head to our website at 844dirt.com.
Your lawn is pleading with you. Listen up. It's more of the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show right now.
Welcome to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show. In case you missed the first part of our show, Mike and I talked about to seed or not to seed. But unfortunately, Mike had to leave and go rescue kittens from a fire. But in his absence, I'll be bringing you Chris Okapal from the Scotts Company. Today, Chris and I are going to discuss all the benefits of seed and the types of seed and just everything else. I'd like to say hi, Chris.
How you doing, Zach?
Pretty good, Chris. It's great to have you here. Well, let's start off with, what's the predominant grass type in this area? I mean, what are people working with?
Well, in this area, we've got mostly cool weather grasses. So it's mostly your Kentucky bluegrass, which is pretty much what people are looking for in this area. You also have your perennial ryegrasses and different types of fescues, mostly fine fescues around here. Tall fescues usually show up in a lawn more as a weed mm-hmm. around here. A lot of times they'll clump and grow faster than other grasses that are in the lawn. So a lot of times people think it's a weed when it's actually just a variety of tall fescue. But you're actually looking for like fine fescues when you're looking for shady areas.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I was going to ask, a lot of people actually have that question, you know, what can I do to get some grass growing in this shady area? And, you know, we recommend a shade seed, but what exactly is that shade seed?
Yeah, with the shady seeds, you're usually looking for a fine fescue. We usually find that those are the ones that do best in the shade. Now, a lot of times I'll get people that will come to me and say, you know, if I tried all different types of shade varieties, different brands, and they just can't get something to work. So a lot of times I'll ask them, you know, is it under a tree? Is it next to a building? We usually say you need at least 4 hours of some type of filtered light.
Yeah, we recommend 4 to 6 hours, and you have to have some sun. Sun is the key, you know, growth factor in any kind of grass.
Right, and it's kind of funny when some people just don't believe it, and they say, well, it'll grow for a little while, and then, of course, it just tapers out once it's not getting its sunlight. Mm-hmm. So some tips, you know, if you're trying to grow grass under a tree, sometimes, you know, trimming up the branches to allow a little bit more sunlight in there will help. You know, once you've tried it and nothing will grow, it's usually best to go to, like, a ground cover.
Yeah, definitely. We usually recommend a mulch. You mulch out to about the line where the grass starts to thicken up. That's where, you know, you get that 4 to 6 hours of sun. But definitely, if you trim the tree up higher, you're going to get a lot more direct sunlight on that area, probably improving your chances of growth.
Right, that is correct.
Now, for sunny areas, then, it would imply that Kentucky bluegrass is your best bet.
Yeah, bluegrasses and perennial ryegrass do very well in the sunlight. They're usually a little bit more coarse, mm-hmm. but they will thrive in sunlight. Where they struggle a little bit in the shade, so a lot of times we'll tell people to, if you're doing a lawn, to do more of a variety mix that'll have a little bit of each of them in there, a little bit of fescue, a little bit of ryegrass, a little bit of bluegrass, so that they can help each other out.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that Kentucky bluegrass actually doesn't come from Kentucky?
Really?
Yeah, it actually followed the Europeans over from Europe, and the Indians in this area called it white man's tracks, because wherever the white man would go, the Kentucky bluegrass would follow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's something you can learn. All right,
very
now,
nice.
Speaking of that, when a lot of people do this kind of overseeding, a lot of our listeners are project-orientated. They like to do overseeding after a dethatching or an aeration project, probably along with some top dressing of some of our, you know, screen mushroom compost to really give that area some, you know, good organic matter to grow. What type of seed is usually best for, like, something like an overseeding after an aeration or dethatching?
I usually tell people to, you know, most people will know what variety of grass seed is in their lawn already. A lot of times when somebody's overseeding, they're usually just trying to take care of a thin lawn. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's thinned out from drought or from over the winter. So a lot of times I'll tell people, you know, try to find a variety that will mix in very well with what they've got there now. Otherwise, usually Kentucky bluegrass is a good one to overseed with just because it rhizomes. So it'll naturally fill in over time. So one will come up and it'll send a rhizome over and another plant will come up. So you'll naturally fill in over
mm-hmm.
time.
Yeah, and that's definitely something you always want to do along with the top dressing, because you're really incorporating that organic matter into the soil, given covering the seed a little as it germinates. And speaking of that, when people are trying to establish a new lawn, what are some of the procedures you would recommend to you know, really kick it off and really get the thing going?
Well, with a new lawn, it's nice because you're starting from scratch.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So the first thing you want to do is, one, you want to look for a clean grassy. When I say clean, you want to find one with low weed content, low inert matter, because you really want seeds in there, not what we call like a filler. Mm-hmm. So you want good grass seed, and then you want to see, you know, are you in shady areas, sunny areas? So you know, you want to start out, like I said, fresh. So you want to start with the best. You know, other than that, you just want to loosen up the top, you know, inch or two of soil, you know, apply the seed. Usually we'll tell people to use a starter fertilizer or something high with a phosphorus mm-hmm. to really stimulate that root growth and kind of kickstart it off. And then, you know, you just do a top dressing over it. You
yeah.
don't necessarily have to bury the seed, but
no,
you don't want it laying right up on top.
Yeah, you definitely want to cover it because the sun on a newly pre-emerged seed is going to be really stressful, you know, on that seed. It's going to really burn it up. It's going to use a lot more material or water and resources. So by covering that, you're actually providing it a little shelter from the extremes.
Right, exactly. And you can't stress enough the water. With a new lawn, you really want to keep those seedlings moist, meaning, you know, do a little bit of watering every day. And then once they start emerging, then you can kick back your water and start getting into more of a deep watering.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when you're first starting, you want to keep those little seedlings nice and moist.
Okay, so initially you want to do a sporadic type of watering, but you want to get back into that deep, good watering system. Like, you know, like you said, really get the water down deep, get the roots to chase the water, and get a good deep root system rather than a shallow sporadic watering that's going to eventually just dry out that first couple inches of surface.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to confuse people, but when you're starting with the new seedlings, you want to water a little bit every day, where later on, once it starts becoming established, that's when you want to get back into the deep watering to pull those roots down. That's really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? Taking care of your lawn is hugely important, because I read somewhere that 625 square feet of grass can provide all the oxygen you need for one day, and I find that amazing. I mean, that's just another reason to take good care of your lawn.
That is correct.
You know, all right. Well, that's great. And folks, for all you listening out there, the place to get this stuff, head to our website at 844dirt.com. Look at our resource partners, and they can provide you with all these seed materials, all the tools to help you get started. And while you're on that, check out 844dirt.com for all these fine products and that we offer. But, you know, Chris, it was just a pleasure having you here. We're actually getting low on time. And again, this is Chris from the Scotts Company. Chris, you'd like to say anything?
Just thank you for having me, and this was a great time.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you, and I hope everybody stays tuned for the next segment where we answer your questions straight in the Gopher's Den.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, the helpful place.
Visit Ace in Aurora on Lake Street and Ace in Aurora on Galena Boulevard.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844-DIRT. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself. Do you care for a lawn?
844-DIRT.
Tend to a garden?
844-DIRT.
Nurture plants?
844-DIRT.
With high-quality earth products such as topsoil, compost, mulch, and more, 844-DIRT can help you with your most earthly prospect.
844-DIRT can also accommodate small deliveries right to your home, staffed with courteous, uniformed drivers.
844-DIRT.
Online, 844dirt.com provides a full product inventory as well as a materials calculator so you'll see what you're getting and how much you will need.
Proudly serving the Fox Valley area with high-quality improved earth products since 1995, 844-DIRT is a name you can trust. You're tuned into the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show. Make way in your noggin. Much more info is on its way.
Welcome back to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Gardening Show. In case you missed a part of our show, never fear. Just hop online and head to 844dirt.com. Click on the Gopher's Den, and from there you can download this and all our shows for your listening pleasure. But now let's take some time to answer the questions that you sent to us at thegophersden@844dirt.com. You know, Mike, before we start these questions, I'd like to give the listeners a little tip that I learned, and I'd like to pass that on.
Okay, so it's, what do we call that? We call that a Zachism, or from Zach, or back from Zach, or just Zach?
Just Zach is fine.
Okay.
I can handle that.
Well, let's see what you got, Zach.
All right, well, the next time it rains, I want you to do a little hunting. Worm hunting.
Whoa, wait a minute, Zach. Hunting? Do we need a permit for that?
No permit required, as of yet. But check your local laws and listings. Well, next time it rains, grab your raincoat, grab a 5-gallon bucket, and head out there. It's real simple to do. You just take your 5-gallon bucket, walk out in your driveway or patio, and grab all the worms that you can see, and toss them in the bucket. Pretty simple, eh?
Yeah, I'm wondering where you're going with this.
Well, after you've met the legal limit, you bring that bucket inside, and you put some lightly wetted newspaper over the bucket after you drain all excess water out. Remember, you don't want to drown these things.
Right.
But you put a little wet newspaper over the top of them to keep them nice and moist for overnight. And then when it stops raining, you just go out to your garden, and you got a ton of worms that you can add directly to your garden soil. It's just a great way to help improve the soil.
Wow, Zach, and you've probably saved a couple of worms from a stray car or two.
You know, and that's part of our job here at 844dirt, is protecting all the little critters everywhere.
You know, Zach, that's because we care.
That's right, Mike, we do care. Well, Mike, are you ready to start answering some questions?
You mean some real questions?
Some real questions, yeah.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. This one is from Pete in Yorkville. Pete writes, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Mike, did you send us in another one?
You know what, Zach? No, I did not send this in. This is apparently a real question. Unless you sent this in, I didn't send this in.
All right, Mike, I'm watching you.
Okay.
All right. Well, Pete, I do know that a woodchuck, also known as a groundhog, does not actually chuck wood. The etymology, or the origin of the word, if you will, of the name woodchuck is unrelated to wood. It stems from an Algonquin Indian name for the animal, woochuck. The apparent relationship between these two words has led to the common question Pete just asked. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Hmm.
Well, Pete, as much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood.
Zach, you know, you actually amaze me with the... I don't know what to call it. Do we call this kind of nominally important information? You're a master at that. Zach, you're my hero. I mean, if you knew this, you're my hero, I think.
I know, Mike, I know. Well, let's move on to the next question. This one comes from Sandy of Naperville. Sandy wants to know what she can do to prevent mulch fungus.
Yeah, this is a really good question, because we definitely have had some experience with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fungus in question is not really a fungus at all, but a slime mold. Volusio septica, which belongs to the phylum Myxomycota of the kingdom Protista, to be specific.
Yeah, to be specific, how's that?
Yeah, you want to know what you're dealing with here.
Okay, well, I agree. That was just a lot to handle at once.
All right, well, it's often known as dog puke slime mold or mulch puke.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, so sometimes, you know, Fugilia septica doesn't sound so bad.
No.
Because of this unpleasant appearance, it gets that nasty kind of name we know it as.
Slime mold or dog poop. Yeah, it is ugly looking.
It is, but unfortunately, there's really nothing you can do about slime mold except physically removing it from the mulch. Now, really don't worry, because although it looks really nasty, it's not going to hurt you in any way. And that's really important. But be prepared, because when you do remove it, it will most often return.
Yeah, so there's nothing we can do about slime mold, Zach?
Well, not really, Mike. These molds exist in all types of mulch, and they only really emerge when the weather conditions are correct. If you frequently turn your mulch beds throughout the summer to help, you know, it can help prevent it, because this provides good aeration to the mulch, and it helps to lower the temperature of the mulch a little. That, you know, gives it a little safety and a little
right.
buffer.
Yeah, and proper mulch maintenance should be necessary anyways. You always want to keep that kind of turned over, stays nice and dark, and like you said, keep those temperatures right where they need to be. And I've had experience with slime mold before, too, and it's just one of those ugly things. When it has color to it, it's still alive, and then when it's dark, it's pretty much dead. Either way, throughout that, every time I see it, I just try to, you know, gently scoop that with a shovel and stick it in a bag, tie that bag off, and throw it in the garbage. You know, sometimes if you poke it or twist it, it does have spore-bearing things in there. They're not going to harm you, but, you know, it's kind of ugly and gross, so the quicker you can get rid of it, the better.
Exactly. Like I said, the spores, they won't hurt you if you inhale them. You should try to avoid that if at all possible. And another thing you want to avoid is eating this by chance or letting any animals eat this, because it can cause them to get sick.
Yeah, so I'm sure we don't have to get a disclaimer. Don't eat the dog puke slime mold, Zach.
Oh, no. I've seen dogs and what they eat, and you can never really trust them around this stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's questions. But we still have some time to hear a tip from the ultimate garden master, Mr. Gopher. All I can say is wow. I mean, wow.
You know, the gopher never ceases to amaze me. He's definitely a hybrid. I had a talk with him earlier today. He said, Mike, refer to me as Mr. Gopher.
Mr. Gopher it is. And all I can say is wow. As always, Mr. Gopher, you are truly full of wisdom. Mr. Gopher said, take care of yourself when working out in your yard. Avoid overheating and drink plenty of water. Take the project at your own pace and enjoy it. And that's what they're there for.
Yeah, it's, you know what, this is your project. This is your passion. I mean, this is something that you're going to enjoy. If you try to rush these things, it never works right. So you always want to take your time. And the good news about being your project is it's your project. Take it at your pace. This should be your passion, not your, obsession to get it done.
Exactly. Like you said, Mike, like this radio show is our passion. We like to pass on all the information that we've learned over the years back to you to help you get the most established, best, and high-productive yard you can get, along with the best looking on the block. That never hurts.
Yeah, absolutely, Zach. You know, and through our years of experience, one of the best things that I like to do is just actually just pass this on for people that want to use it. So we just want to say thanks for listening and good gardening.
Good gardening, folks.